This episode of RHR was brought to you by Unchained. Unchained is here building out the financial services platform for Bitcoin Standard. Their cornerstone product is their Vault product, a 2 or 3 multi-sig Vault where you hold 2 keys. Unchained holds 1. This is a collaborative custody model. They're expanding the offerings for their Vault where you can hold 1 key and you can delegate keys to other institutions. You can hold no keys if you're an enterprise level. They have a lending desk as well. You can use Bitcoin as collateral. If you're a business, to get out a U.S. dollar loan. They have an IRA product. If you want to roll your fiat IRA into Bitcoin, Unchained makes it very easy. They're expanding their product offering every day. They have a trading desk if you want to buy large sums of Bitcoin and send it straight to cold storage, multi-sig cold storage. They make it very easy. Go to unchained.com, set up a call with their consultation team today, their concierge service team. Use the code RHR for $50 off that consultation. Unchained.com. Use the code RHR. This episode of RHR was also brought to you by good friends at CoinKite. They make the best hardware in the space, including this block clock, which is right behind me. Their hardware wallets are the best. I use the Cold Card Q. It's been my daily driver for many months now, and I think it is the best hardware wallet on the market. It is a beautiful form factor. Looks somewhat like a BlackBerry. It's got a battery pack. You never have to plug it into an internet connected device. However, it is QR code and NFC compatible. It's got a QR scanner and an NFC compatible device in it. They just pushed push TX functionality to the Cold Card Q firmware. Actually happened yesterday. And so now if you want to construct and sign a transaction on the Cold Card and then broadcast it via NFC and mempool.space, you can do that with your phone very easily. Best hardware in the space. Go to coinkite.com, pick up a Q, pick up a Cold Card MK4, pick up the SATS cards, the tab signer, the block clocks. If you want the best hardware, go to CoinKite.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Yeah.
Morning, Rip.
My night quakes. Yeah.
Hope you have your coffee ready, freaks.
Please. Yo.
Happy Thursday.
No to another step transmitted over relays. It's like they're just decentralized PayPal and eBay. Yeah, yeah. Bitcoin Island. Yeah, yeah. Nosta City. Yeah. Better make some changes like my name is Bukele. I got sats on my celly. Nosta apps on my celly. They go good together like peanut butter jelly. And the world ain't ready, man. The world ain't
Woo! We're not doing the whole thing.
Should we do the whole thing? How long is it, Logan?
No, we're good.
Good morning, Freaks. Coffee Rip.
This is the first time I heard that track. Who is that?
It is... I heard it on my cell phone. DJ Klex? Something like that. What is it, Logan? Noster City by Klex. Klex.
Is it Man Like Klex?
A Man Like Klex, yeah.
He's like pretty prolific on Wave Lake. Well, anyway, freaks, you can listen to the whole track on Wave Lake and go support the artist.
You can zap him.
He's on Noster. If the song to make that clear.
That was a sick beat. That's why I saw a shout out to Derek Ross. Ross shared that on Noster this morning. I listened to it while I was waiting for you to get your coffee ready. I said, hey, why don't we cold open with the song about freedom technology? It's a freedom technology podcast. I mean, maybe we should do that more often. DJ, if a man keeps pushing up the hits.
I like music. So I support it. I'm moving a little bit slow over here today, Marty.
You know what? Freaks, we got to give it up to Matt. Moved around RHR this week because I have my mother coming to town. She's on a flight from Philadelphia to Austin right now, and I want to spend a day with her, and so Matt agreed to do a morning rip. We got some coffee. We got no list. We got some topics to talk about. First thing, gut reaction to the debate the other night. Did you watch it?
Well, I mean, first thing is mothers are important, so I'm happy to move things around for your mother and your family. But to the freaks, it's 7 a.m. here. It's 7 a.m. here. We're going to have to do a tight rip. Then I have my Airbnb checkout. So I have to pack up the car, three dogs, baby, wife, and then move to another Airbnb. So my head's all over the place. And as a result, there is no list this week. This is merely a participation trophy episode. So I hope you enjoy it.
Hey, you guys are going to get value out of this. I got a list in my mind. We got some stuff to talk about.
You already got a fire track. You already got a fire track to start your morning. And I'm looking forward to it. No, Marty, why don't you give us your insight from the debate instead of me starting?
I just thought it was hilarious. I laughed at the Pets line. It was hilarious.
What, the migrants eating dogs and cats?
Yeah. And ABC, I mean, this is well talked about. I'm not surfacing anything revelatory here. I think it was pretty obvious to everybody that the moderators were pretty biased in their questioning and their fact-checking of one candidate over the other. But like, it is a Streisand effect. The Pets thing was hilarious because he's like, they're eating the dogs, they're eating the cats, they're eating the Pets. He was like, well, we called the city manager and no confirmed cases of that, sir. And somebody had a great tweet, which is like, this is emblematic of the state of mainstream media, is where they call a bureaucrat and take their answer as gospel and just repeat it to the world. And if you look at Streisand effect, because everybody's like, my wife, she had no idea about the Pets being eaten. And she looked at me because I started laughing out loud when he put that line out into the world. She's like, why are you laughing? Is that true? I was like, yeah, they're eating the Pets. They're eating the cats. They're eating the dogs. They're eating the geese. The Haitians are running wild in Springfield, Ohio. Something needs to be done. Save the Pets. Keep your dogs. You may not want to drive through Ohio on your little road trip.
Yeah. No one's eating my dogs. I won't look that up.
I mean, 2016 Trump mean energy is back, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I don't pretend to know if Pets are actually being eaten. But
no, they're being eaten. It's like they're being eaten. It's happening on the ground reports.
if they are being eaten, what will happen is in like 8 months, it'll just be taken as, oh, of course, like we've known they've been being eaten the whole time, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's adding new cultures to the country, you know, except the culture.
I don't know. I mean, I like Jack's take, right? Just quoting David Clark from 1992. We reject kings, presidents, and voting. We believe in rough consensus and running code. But I don't know. I don't know why I watch those things. It's like,
this is the first one I've watched in many years. I typically stay away, but
I think you like kind of
it's going to be spicy.
You like kind of watch it for like the, it's like watching NASCAR for a car accident.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Like,
and but then after, when you're done, you're like, why the fuck did I do that to myself? Like, it was just completely unnecessary. I don't know. Clown world continues.
Clown world continues. The sober analysis of the debate. Everybody is saying that Kamala won. Trump got triggered, which he obviously did, but I think if you look at the data, the exit polling from the debate, the number one issue that people care about here in the United States right now, the economy, it seems that people were not happy with the answers that Kamala gave, and they did not satisfy the public. And so Trump's numbers in terms of who would best handle the economy went up after that. And I think that's all that matters if you're looking into this race. And
like, if you want to like listen to like 30 minutes of political analysis, you can go listen to the All In podcast. We'll cover it at length this week. The one poll I do check is 538, which is like the polls of polls.
Nate Silver. Well, he's not there anymore.
Yeah, but isn't he still like involved or no?
I think he's doing his own thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, they had Kamala winning the debate, and they have her up by like four points or something right now. I think they're just like, predictively, they do a decent job. They had Trump when everyone said Trump wasn't going to win, so.
We shall see. We shall see.
But, I mean, the Bitcoin price, I think they should just do the Bitcoin price live on the debates. Like, I mean, they could do the stock market, but it's closed. So it should just be, a live view of the Bitcoin price ticker, like the little like dot chart. I think that would be fun.
Dot chart. I've never heard of a dot chart.
Just like a little line with a dot going up and down with the as they're speaking. It should be the Bitcoin's the measure of the global economy. It's the one free market. And it shouldn't it really just is. Be America. Like when the French people debate, like they should have the Bitcoin price up. When the British people debate,
The French don't affect the Bitcoin price. Come on,
the Chinese don't have presidential debates, but when they're giving speeches, the Bitcoin price should be up. We should just put the Bitcoin price live.
Just be on every channel if it's a sitcom. Everything.
That's my contribution.
Speaking of the Bitcoin price, we're going to Clark's dashboard where the Bitcoin price is currently 57,700 cuckbucks. One cuckbuck's going to get you 1,733 sats. We are at a $1.14 trillion market cap, and we are sitting at block heights 861,013. We had a difficulty adjustment 2 days ago. It was an upwards difficulty adjustment at 3.6%. We are sitting at new difficulty all-time highs. It's hard out there for a miner. Hashing ain't easy. That's probably going to be the meat of what we talk about during this hour, because I wrote a newsletter about it last night, top of mind. A lot going on in the mining world. Right now we are 1,835 blocks away from the next difficulty adjustment, which is estimated to be on September 24th, 2024. As of right now, still early in this epoch, it's looking like a downward adjustment of 10.4%. Blocks been coming in at 11 minutes and 11 seconds on average. 11:11. Lucky freaks make a wish. Did you make your wish? Okay, good. We can continue. There are currently 154,457 transactions in Clark's mempool. If we go over to mempool.space, we can see that they have loading, VPN moving slow, 201,253 transactions in their mempool.
Nice.
In a week. We've been having these conversations behind the scenes. It feels like we're at the point, sentiment-wise, in this cycle. You can go full screen now, Logan, where people are dejected. People are exacerbated. We've had this range-bound movement between low 50s, mid-60s for what seems like the better part of a year. Low 70s.
Well, you remember that?
Just the tip. Yeah, it was cool.
Good times.
It was cool. It was fun. Higher number, better than lower number. And the lower number is getting people down, sentiment-wise. People, including ourselves, like, what's happening here? What's happening? Why do something, Bitcoin price.
I was promised no dumps.
That's on me. Hand up. That's on me. That's a perfect point of the spectrum. We had no dumps sentiment earlier this year, and now we're down to like the Bitcoin price is never going back up, which having been in this for many cycles is usually a bottom indicator, close to bottom indicator. People are dejected right now. It's been a long, long year.
Yeah, I mean, stable stack sats. But it should just be, Bitcoin is more of a macro asset than it's ever been before. So we're like a little bit victim of what's going on the macro side. And it should be interesting to see, you know, I mean, we're not going anywhere, Marty and I, there will continue to be rabbit hole recaps. So it should be interesting to see when we look back at this cycle, comparing it to past cycles, because it should be a little bit different now that we're more tied to this clown world fiat shit show.
Yeah. It's never been more of a shit show, freaks.
Enjoy because like cycle wise, we already like deviated from the cycle, breaking all time highs before halving. And that was mostly because the ETFs. And then if you like look at cycles, like really like the next month or so should be when we like start pumping like crazy. Right. It's like, it feels like it's always like October, November, like into Christmas is like where it's like when markets usually sleep, which is like Thanksgiving to Christmas, is when Bitcoin usually rips in the cycle right after halving. So we'll see what happens. But it is a little bit crazy out there right now.
Yeah. I'm looking for the chart. I think Checkmate, you might have it, but, I mean, this is like particularly post halving years, it's September. Every year is typically a bad month, for Bitcoin. October is a better month, but it's hilarious how still psychologically with this data at your fingertips, you're still at the whims of your emotions. And I think that's, I started this section of the episode, this topic, somewhat jokingly, but I think we could all benefit from recognizing that we're reacting psychologically to price movement. And as Matt said, stay humble, stack sats. Don't let the relatively boring price movement lull you into a state of panic and worry.
Yeah, I mean, Bitcoin. Like, I read one post that was like, we've basically been flat for like 6 years. It's like, I mean, that's ridiculous. Like, we have not. I mean, with like the 10-year, like, Bitcoin's up like 32,000% in 10 years. It's just stay humble, stack sats. Bitcoin is our safe haven. I don't know where else I would put my money. So you don't really have another option. And you just try and keep your expenses as low as possible. I will say, for me, this cycle, my expenses are higher than they've ever been, which makes it more difficult. Babies are quite expensive.
Ah, yeah. So wait until they start growing real fast, like 3 to 4. And to buy new clothes every 3 months. Like this summer, my oldest, he started the summer with a new wardrobe. And by the end, his shorts were like up to, like midway up his thigh. To buy them all.
Yeah, I mean, we were fortunate because Grant Gillum of 1031, we got all of his hand-me-downs from his son. So at least on the clothes side, we saved a lot of money.
We have some cousins. Yeah. We have some cousins. Hand-me-downs. My son, greatest hand-me-down ever. Lewis Hamilton t-shirt. Very, very aesthetically pleasing. It's his favorite shirt.
That's awesome.
My older nephew was,
I'm pretty excited. You know, Lewis Hamilton's moving to Ferrari, right?
I did not catch that. Yeah. I thought he would never leave Mercedes.
It should be
Ferrari's the hot team right now. They're the ones winning.
Yeah, we'll be next season.
It's good.
They do this weird thing in F1 where sometimes they announce it a year ahead of time. So then you have to still compete on your existing team for a year while everyone knows you're leaving for the competitor, which has got to be a weird mind fuck.
Yeah. This episode brought to you by Unchained. They produce incredible plastic cups. In all seriousness, though, talking about like prices down, not only is that affecting individuals psychologically.
We were talking about F1. I don't even remember the price talk anymore.
Yeah. Cash App car.
No,
Cash
wait,
App
you,
car.
What, I didn't mean to distract you. What were you talking about?
Prices down. Individuals are battered psychologically.
Well, prices are like $58,000. Like, it's barely down.
Hey, we expect excellence from the best asset in the world here.
It's like more or less at all-time highs. People are like, fuck.
Yeah, that's actually, freaks, run the data. Logan, maybe you can look this up. How many days have we been higher than the current price like in Bitcoin's 14 history?
Days.
It's probably been like, I bet it's been less than 70.
Yeah, it's high. It's like in the 30s.
Yeah.
Just ask AI.
Yeah. People are feeling it. Who are just holding Bitcoin as an asset, as a savings vehicle, even though I think we would both agree that many people are overreacting. But the people that are feeling it, probably the hardest is the mining industry. I read a newsletter about this last night, Logan, if you want to pull it up. Bitcoin mining mayhem, had to tap the sign last night.
Marty goes, I go, I don't have a list. We got to go live ASAP. Like, what are we going to name the episode? He goes, Bitcoin mining mayhem. I was like, why? He's like, you clearly didn't read the PEP last night. Okay, continue, Marty.
It's mayhem out there. I have to tap the sign, tapping the sign right now. Bitcoin mining is the most ruthlessly competitive industry out of all industries in the world. And as we mentioned on Clark's dashboard, we had an upwards difficulty adjustment this week, which means we're at difficulty all-time highs. Post-halving, that means, and this like price consolidation, that means that we're hovering around hash price all-time low. So around 4 cents per terahash per day is the revenue that miners are making, hash rates at all-time highs. And we're seeing some chaos begin to materialize in the industry. And I think, Logan, pull up Adam O's tweet from upstream there. I think this is an interesting stat to really dig into the economics of mining, which is ASIC payback time, despite the fact that hash price is hovering right above all-time lows. And that means profitability is not incredible for miners. ASICs had not really reacted. The price of ASICs, even though the market's being flooded with them, they're still relatively elevated. So Adam just uses the example of the Antminer T21, which produces 190 terahash. It's selling for $3,000. They're earning around $7.41 a day gross, which means they have a 427-day ROI. 2021 S19J Pro 100 terahash unit at a $10,000 hash price was 27 cents, which is 370-day ROI. So he's saying when that was launched, the ROI on that machine was about 2 months quicker payback. So new prices are 15% more worse than peak of 2021, which was historic all-time highs for ASIC prices. And so ASIC prices are still elevated. If you're plugging these things in, it's going to take you a while to pay them back. And so the mining industry is feeling the pain, and we've had a lot of ramifications from that, particularly in the world of M&A. And so we talked about Grid and CleanSpark. CleanSpark bought Grid a couple of weeks ago. Obviously, we had Cathedra Constellation merger. We've talked about Riot initiating what looks to be a hostile takeover of Bitfarms.
A hostile takeover of Bitfarms.
Funnily enough, Bitfarms, within the last 2 weeks, announced that they will be merging and acquiring Stronghold, which is the clean coal miner in Pennsylvania. So that looks like an attempt to expand their operations and fend off this attempted takeover by Riot. TerraWolf also signaled to the market in the last 2 weeks that they would be open to a merger if the conditions make sense. Rhodium, which is a miner down here in Texas, they slipped into bankruptcy late last month. And I just think this trend is going to continue. And on top of all this, with difficulty all-time high, hash rate all-time high, Bitmain came out. We mentioned it last week. We never went into the details. I said I would. I didn't. But Bitmain, if you guys didn't catch, announced a new miner. It's producing 860 terahash per second at 13 joules per terahash. So it's the highest hashing, most efficient, energy efficient miner that will ever hit the market. It is the U321 EXPH.
That has hit the market so far.
Well, if you understand the way Bitmain's operated, they'll a lot of times produce these machines, plug them in, mine with them, either to make sure they're running okay or just to produce revenue. So I would not be surprised if Bitmain's mining with these incredibly efficient high hashing machines already. They're hydro cooled.
He used three-phase power.
Oh, my God.
I tried to fight through that one. I tried to fight through that one. I couldn't do it. And the form factor is going to be interesting. It's a 3U server chassis with their hydro-cooled, like the hydro-cooled What's Miner units. And then on top of all this, TEPCO, I believe it's the largest energy producer in Japan, has announced that they are going to expand their mining pilot, which they started in late 2022, to utilize excess renewable energy production within their utilities. And so more competition coming to the market. So it's very hard to be a miner out there. What are you laughing at?
Weirdo Robot was like, damn, this is way too early.
You've got the black lung.
Cut the back, black lung. I've been in the Bitcoin mines.
I received, took a risk for my family, and I did what you're never supposed to do, which is pre-order mining rigs. Okay. But I got three of those like cheap $99 Canon 4 terahash units.
Oh, by the way.
They're pretty
nice.
How
would you get that when you can get a BitX? You know they're backdoored, right?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. I have them plugged in at the Airbnbs. I have them plugged into the Airbnbs and they're lottery mining. And I know they're completely closed source, but 4 terahash, they plug into a regular outlet. They connect to Wi-Fi, and I just have them on lottery mining. So I'm gonna win it big. I'm gonna win it big, freaks. I'm pretty excited. I got free energy.
It doesn't sound like you're staying humble. You're banking on a...
What? Yeah, I'm not staying humble with my $99 lottery mining units.
Lottery mining. It's a trend that's going to continue.
It's literally the first thing I unpack when I get out of the car is I just go and connect to the Wi-Fi, plug it in.
Yeah.
Plug three of them in, different parts of the house.
Yeah.
I will say there's something there. Like, I love BitX. I think particularly BitX with Block's upcoming chip should be even more interesting because I think there's some things that will be announced on that front. So I think the future is incredibly bright with BitX, and we proudly support the BitX project from OpenSats. But Canon is the first unit that really feels like, for a Chinese company, it feels like a polished retail unit. And I think there's really something there. You know, we've talked about like the heat bit and stuff, but it's like quite expensive. You know, it's very large. They're like trying to compete with like the Dysons of the world. This is like a tiny little brick that you can choose like low, medium, or high heat in terms of like being a space eater. And you just lottery mine with it. And I think there's something that one of my dogs is fucking with the camera, but I think there's,
Logan, I think you know what to do.
He's literally just, no, he's behind the camera hitting it with his nose. But yeah.
We tell him to shoo? Cool. Will you shoo him off? Did you name your dog Ben? Can you shoo him off?
No. You're the shooer of the podcast.
Okay, I'm shooing.
I have a no shoe policy.
Get him in front of the camera so he can see my, so he can see my shoe. Logan, go back to the TFTC article. I think
Brains has a home miner too, but I think it's like worse price per terahash, like significantly worse price per terahash than the Canon unit.
Yeah.
Good right? Yeah. Like what is the price and what does it put out?
Couldn't tell you off the top of my head. We can look it up though.
I mean, the Canon is $99 for 4 terahash, which seems pretty competitive.
Looking at brains.com hardware. Brains Mini Miner. Next Gen BMM 101 pre-orders are now available. But it also says sold out. So that's a Brains. Christian, if you're looking, it says they're now available, but it also says sold out right above it. So can't really tell. Built for the home. Small, silent, 1 terahash, 40 watts.
Yeah.
And the price.
Yeah, it's more expensive than the Canon unit, and it's 1 terahash.
Yeah, one terra second, one hash board, four ASIC chips, active cooling, 40 decibels, air output temperature 40 to 50 Celsius.
Yeah, the Canon unit is also pretty quiet.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have the price here. Buy now. Let's see. Shop.brains.com. Unleash the power of brains. Pre-order. $299.
Yeah, so I bought my three units for the same price. They might be more efficient, but also not paying for power.
Probably not backdoored as well.
Well, they're in the Airbnb Wi-Fi network. I will say
it's not about hacking your system, it's about jacking your hash.
Oh well, I mean you can check that. And the hash lines up. Like I'm getting 12, like the pool is saying I'm getting 12 tera hash. So
yeah. Whether you're running,
maybe they were, but I upgraded the firmware. Maybe they were, but it seems like I'm getting exactly what I'm supposed to be getting.
Okay, that's good. That's good. I'm happy to hear that. If you're not running lottery ASICs and you're trying to run a business by plugging ASICs in and making revenue.
It's not a business.
Look, and pull up that tweet. You should be running aftermarket firmware. Like you're actually making, in the bent, not this tweet. This tweet, yeah. If you're not running aftermarket firmware, particularly if you're like a publicly traded miner or miner with investors, you are doing your shareholders and investors a disservice. So if you, this is Aaron from Luxor. He put this tweet out, I believe, yesterday. So Bitmain S19 XP 141 terahash unit purchased at $8 a T, hosted at the average hosting rate of $0.07 a kilowatt hour, with a hash price of $40.68. So that's per exahash per day. Generates 64 cents per day net profit with stock firmware and generates $1.03 per day shilling Luxor's firmware, but with Luxor's Luxor's firmware. That changes your payback period from 58 months to 36 and a half. And so this is something that's not underutilized, particularly by publicly traded markets. And now there is nuance to this. Some miners, due to their power contracts and how much electricity they've basically signed up to take month in and month out, cannot run this firmware because it would breach that contract. However, this is not the case for everybody. If you do have the ability to underclock your machines and run firmware that makes them more efficient, you essentially lower your power draw at a rate that is higher than the amount of hash rate that you're producing, the amount of hash rate production reduction that you do from lowering that power draw. It increases your margins. This is something we've been doing at Cathedra for many years now. Proud to be doing it, but honestly, like if you're running a mining operation, particularly with shareholders or investors, and you're able to utilize this strategy, and you're not doing everybody a disservice, and your company is not as profitable as it can be, as you can see here with this example that Aaron put out there. You're essentially 40% less profitable than you would be otherwise.
Mining is like incredibly brutal business.
Tap the sign.
Yeah.
Tap the sign. This rep of RHR was also brought to you by our good friends at Stack. Stack is a cloud sourcing platform that combines the power of humans and AI to make it easy for you to complete complex tasks as a business. They are currently looking for a technical product manager for their coding bounties program. So if you want to go stackwork.com and apply for this job, I would highly do it. Paul and team at Stack are building one of the most incredible and exciting products on the market right now. If you listen to Citadel Dispatch or TFTC with Carlino from Digital Witness, he explained how Digital Witness used Stack to confirm the results of the Guatemalan presidential election last year. And Stack basically enables you to put out all these tasks in the case of Digital Witness,
They had a combination of AI and humans complete tasks to prove that votes looked a certain way and said a certain thing, and they got paid out in Bitcoin for it. So they're looking for a technical product manager for their bounties program. So you go check them out. Stackwork, that's StackWork.com.
We have 20 minutes left. Let's talk about something else. I mean, before we do...
What the fuck? Why do you want to talk about mining? It's the most exciting thing in the world. We should talk about mining for the whole hour.
Shout out to Mav21 with 21,000 sat zap in the Nostra live chat. And shout out to Seth from Bitcoin Park and Satoshi Pacioli, the best Bitcoin accountants in the space with 8,300 sats zap to us. Those are our two largest zappers in the live chat. Did you see what Seth said?
Zaps are fucking up?
No. Marty, when raw milk drops at Bitcoin Commons?
Seth, oh, we have them already.
Seth set up weekly raw milk deliveries for Bitcoin Park members at Bitcoin Park. First of all, I don't think we should call it raw milk. I think that's a psyop. There's milk, and then there's pasteurized milk.
What are your thoughts on Matt Walsh thinking that raw milk is toxic?
I think he should delete his Twitter and go all in on Nostr. Okay. But, I mean, I think he's wrong. Our son, all he does is, all he drinks is real milk. He's never had that pasteurized crap. So, I mean, I think our family, like, we actions speak louder than words. I mean, he can believe whatever the fuck he wants to believe. I think he's irrelevant.
Shout out to Richardson's Farms here in Texas for producing our raw milk. It's delicious. It tastes much better.
We get raw cream, too. So fucking
good. Oh, yeah. That's what my wife's been making butter with that. Butter. Ricotta. She's made ricotta with it. Homemade butter. Salted butter. She's been making honey butter. Some sourdough bread that she makes as well. I'm spoiled freaks.
Shout out to my parents for being pioneers in getting raw milk when you're not supposed to in the Austin area.
What did they do? Tell us more.
Back in like the 2000s when we lived here before, they set up like a club where people would get together to get the raw milk.
And they'd get together and milk each other and get some raw
Logan,
milk.
Logan is so young that like his back in the day stories are the early 2000s. Back in the
day. I was a small little child.
Well, shout out to your parents, Logan. I'm glad they made you. We couldn't do this.
And then we moved to Washington where you can just go to the store and buy raw milk.
Carlos, we would shout you out if you zapped more. There's no need. Just be the change you want to see in the world.
Yeah, Carlos. MVK, it's good to see you here. Happy you could get into the stream.
In classic MVK fashion, he's blaming other people besides himself for being late to the stream.
Yeah. What do we have in the world of software this week? Any big... I got some economic topics we can touch on. CPI came in at 2.5%. It's low.
Well, that's a fucking lie.
Yeah. Actually, no. If you look at it, like, gas prices are going up pretty significantly, it seems like. Which would signal... Parker and I were actually talking about this late here in the Commons. We had an end-of-day powwow about the state of macroeconomics. There's some indicators out there, gas being one of them. Why are the prices as low as they are? Production hasn't waned materially, or it hasn't picked up materially, excuse me. And then just anecdotally here in Austin, I've been back since Labor Day, and they have, Logan, have you noticed this? And have you been on South Lamar at all? They've set up a bunch of, they've like coned off one lane on one of the busiest roads in this city. It looks like they're going to be doing construction, but it's literally been, I've been back for 2 weeks. I haven't seen one construction worker. It's just created incredible amount of traffic. And then at the Uber ride here this morning, we were pissed off because we were in traffic on this road. I was complaining to him. He's like, dude, they haven't done anything on this road for like 2 months. And so like they have construction set up and nobody's working, which anecdotally, it's a little odd. You'd think they'd be working.
They did block off a bunch of stuff in my area, but they actually got it done.
Well, they haven't gotten our stuff done in our area. And then on top of that, a lot of new construction. Parker was mentioning the fact that there's a house on his block that's like half built, and they haven't worked on it in a couple months either. There's people showing up, taking pictures. It's up for sale. So they have like a half constructed house up for sale. It's obvious that the builder ran out of money as he was building the house. And so, it does seem like there is some economic stress out there.
That was the point of the story.
Yeah.
Like, thanks for sharing, Marty.
You know what? Screw you. Okay. I'm trying to bring some, I know you're tired. I know you don't like waking up and doing coffee rips. Somebody's got to pull the topics. What topic you were,
Marty? There's definitely a lot of economic stress out there. I mean, what about the fact that like most of our peers, like most of the people we went to college with, high school with, like they just have no savings. They're just like zombie poor people.
Do you tell them that to their faces? What's up, zombie poor person?
I don't know. It just sucks. Like, what are you supposed to say? For like a decade, I've been telling them to stay humble, stack sats. I'm a broken fucking record.
Haha, no, you're poor for not listening to me.
I don't say that to them, but I feel for them. Like, it's crazy.
It is. That's actually another reason we're recording early and we couldn't do it tomorrow. So I got to head to a wedding. College buddies. It'll be the first time I get together with this crew in like 10 years. I'm interested as well. I actually successfully convinced a lot of my college buddies to get into Bitcoin. They're very happy. Better orange pillar every year, obviously.
Yeah, clearly.
So CPI low. We've got big Fed meeting next week, FOMC. So we may have rate cuts coming to market. And that's one thing Parker was saying is like rate cuts, they're going to come, but that in itself, number one, it's too late. As soon as they start cutting rates historically, that's when you get into an official recession and things start breaking.
It's not a recession until Marty declares it a recession, by the way, guys.
Yeah, I'm the new NBER. NBER, Marty, Bureau of Economic Research.
Did you see Rob Hamilton came in with 20,000 sats?
Thanks, Rob.
No guns, no dogs, no milk at Bitcoin Commons. Makes you think.
Parker brings Hank, his dog, at least once a week. Won't comment on the second because I can't. And yeah, we do get fresh beef jerky and fresh raw milk when people want it delivered here. So shut the hell up, Rob.
What do you think about Trump's 20% tariff plan?
I've spoken about this. If you look at the golden age of the U.S. economy, which many highlight as the period after the Civil War, that was the economic policy. You had no income tax, you had high tariffs, and you had a golden age of American expansion. But of course, the
1890s.
Yeah, the federal government.
Back in our day. See, Logan, see how small. Old we are? Back in our day. Late 19th
it's
century.
Two decades. It's a span between two world wars.
The point being is, like, it can be effective if you actually have the balls to implement it the right way. And the way you have to implement it would be to have a Malay-style afuera deconstruction of
afuera. The
federal government. So if you're going to do those high tariffs, low income tax, you have to cut spending at the federal level. Yeah. So you have to gut
and all cut those. The income tax.
Yeah.
The 1890s, there was no income tax.
Yeah, exactly. So you have to, if you want to raise tariffs up to that level across
the
board.
Cut all the other taxes. Afuera all the other taxes.
You have to afuera income tax, but not only that, you have to literally just go in Department of Education, gone. Department of Energy, gone. Like, you have to cut spending as well. Military budget slashed by
80%. If you keep everything else equal, like, it's just going to increase our prices by 20%.
Yeah, if you keep everything, because we don't make anything here anymore.
Like the short term will just be like incredibly short term pain, particularly on like the lowest income level people.
Yeah, I've recorded an episode because they had the meeting, I believe the Republican, the GOP, they had like a meeting on the Hill a few months ago, and Trump was involved about strategy if they do win the election. And Thomas Massie came out, basically leaked from that meeting, like he's talking about high tariffs, low income taxes. And so I had Peter St. Ange on TFTC. So if you guys, I think it was 2 or 3 months ago now at this point, we covered this, we dove into this topic, and it's essentially like, yeah, if you want to do it successfully, you have to go back to like 1890s policy, which was federal government was fucking minuscule, very small, no income tax. And so it has been done. It can be done, but is the political will to gut the federal government and all the alphabet soup agencies and bureaucracies that exist at that level? I don't know. He may have the political will, but will he be able to do that? I mean, I'm highly
never going to happen. Yeah. Like, it's just straight up never going to happen.
Can happen. I mean,
I like the idea of tariffs to try and like defibrillator like American manufacturing, right? Like just shock it into high gear. But I mean, it's just going to compound on top of inflation in just a brutal fucking way, probably in practice. I mean, you're like, is this like an 1890s podcast now? I went to a museum about the Oregon Trail yesterday.
You say Oregon, you know, very weird. Oregon?
Whatever. It doesn't fucking matter. It's not a pronunciation podcast. It's like the one thing we have going for the AI is like, you'll know it's the real show because we'll have it signed and hashed using Blossom and Noster. But you'll also know it's the real show because we can't pronounce shit. 400,000 people basically walked across that trail. That's fucking insane. And then they invented the train and you could just get across in a week. It was like 6 months walk.
400,000 people made it or 400,000 people started?
I think they made it. I think, I don't know. My son was just like running around the museum. So it was like hard to like keep track. But that's just like the scale of that is kind of crazy. And most of the Mormons would walk with hand carts. Like they didn't even use like mules and oxen and shit. Pretty crazy.
Mormons.
Yeah, on the Mormon trail to get to the Salt Lake.
I thought the Mormons started in like, yeah, they started in like what, 1840 or something like that. That's when the Mormon religion. When did the Mormon
Yeah, it was the same time period we're talking about.
1830.
Yeah.
That's when the Mormon religion started, yeah. First generation Mormons, second generation Mormons walking across with their hand carts.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. I mean, you mentioned AI. AI is getting crazy. I'm not sure if you saw the Replit agent product that they released.
They did not.
We're getting very close to idiots like me being able to prompt an AI to code up an app for you. I was playing around with it for a bit the other day and was able to produce a workable app. It's pretty insane. That, like, speaking of, like, economic, I'm not sure you did see it because I put it in our group chat, but what company was it? Klarna.
That's the buy now, pay later, right?
Yeah. They announced that they announced that they're cutting their Salesforce and Workday B2B SaaS relationships because they're building those products in-house. They're going to build their own CRM and their own project management system. And so in terms of all these big B2B SaaS companies that exist and depend on these companies leveraging their services instead of building them themselves, who knows if Klarna will be able to do this successfully and potentially they could get down the line and say, it's not worth it and go back to Salesforce and Workday, but the potential is there to build this. And so that could be very disruptive to the broader tech ecosystem, particularly B2B SaaS businesses.
I zoned out. Just don't use the buy now, pay later stuff. Marty, you want to read the boost from last week?
You motherfucker. Wake up. Take another sip of that coffee.
I'm out of coffee.
Are you out of coffee already?
I finished it. It's what happens.
You got to fill this dead air while I'm looking up these boosts.
The dead. Okay, I have a story. So no, my
tell a story.
My son can say two words: dogs and banana. Those are his two words.
Banana's a hard one.
Yeah, banana. I mean, he just likes eating bananas, so it kind of makes sense. And he's been raised by dogs, so that also makes sense. But my wife has been trying to teach him mama and dada. And we're like sitting at dinner 2 days ago, and he points at me and he goes, dada. And then he puts his hand on his chest and he goes, mama. And it's because she's been saying dada, and then she points to herself and says mama. So he thinks he's mama now. And he just he's been doing it nonstop for 2 days. It's just fucking hilarious. He says it with so much conviction. He just points to me, says dada, and then puts his hand on his chest and says mama.
Enjoy the cute times when they're learning the words, because eventually they get in to their not all of them. Our oldest in it, but our youngest is in his terrible twos right now, and it is terrible.
Well, we're close.
I love him to death, but he wakes up very angry and starts hitting you. I'm a battered father.
That's... Logan, you're just so good at this.
You're quick with it, bro. All right, top four boosts from last week's Rabbit Hole Recap. Fear, Uncertainty, and Doubt. Rabbit Hole Recap 321. Seth boosted us 56,000 sats. Great episode, guys. Noster Valley is hosting an event on October 12th at Happy Valley Brewing in State College, PA. Whether you're free for the day or looking to enjoy a weekend of adventure, we'd love to have you join us. This is a free event. Connect with us on Noster or visit nostervalley.com to learn more and sign up.
Badass. Love it.
And I'm just going to look up the Penn State football schedule to let you know what traveling there to stay would be like on that weekend. And they are at USC. So the football team's not going to be there. You're probably going to be able to get cheap hotels in Penn State and State College.
There we go.
That'll be a good game. Penn State at USC, October 12th. At Eric99, 50,000 sats. Stay humble. Stack sats.
Great advice. Appreciate you, Eric.
Keith Sharp, 33,333 sats. I feel like an idiot. Last week, he had a couple of acronyms, that one of which I couldn't figure
out. Peace and Love, Freaks.
PAL, P-A-L, Peace and Love. If you know, you know. I-Y-K-Y-N. Wait, that's not... That's wrong. I-Y-K-Y-N should be I-Y-K-Y-K.
If you know, you know. Yeah, it's I-Y-K-Y-K.
Weird that last week Fountain doxed my full name instead of a screen name. No worries. I'm fully doxed anyway. Probably something with the new Noster integration, which is awesome. Shout out to ATL BitLab, hosting ATL BitDevs and ATL BitPlebs. Meetups most Wednesday evening, 6 to 8 p.m. right on the Atlanta Beltline. SHSS. Stample stack sats.
Great advice.
Beholder, 20,000 sats. Rocket Man should start to accept Bitcoin for Starlink stuff. We agree.
100%. I would say, like, I give Elon a lot of shit, but Starlink is fucking badass, and it would be even better if you could just pay with Bitcoin.
It would be. Ape Mithrandir, 7,777 sats. Sevens across the board. Palindrome boost. Y'all Brazilians better be buying your VPNs with KYC free sats or XMR Monero.
Yeah, so Molvad, IVPN, Proton VPN, all good options. All except Bitcoin. So consider that if you're thinking about a VPN. Your VPN provider is a very trusted relationship, so don't go... Use some shit VPN. Use one that has at least a strong reputation, like the three I just mentioned. Yeah, I was going to say something else. Oh, with Starlink, they do accept like the Bitcoin company Visa cards. So you can get a no KYC Bitcoin Visa card from the Bitcoin company app, and then you can pay Starlink that way. But it's just so nice. Just paying a Bitcoin invoice natively.
It really is. Guys, we're 150 blocks away from a palindrome block. So probably about 25 hours from now. So 10 a.m. tomorrow, central, for the palindrome block. 150 blocks away. Just caught nice. That. A big palindrome block guy.
Where, Marty?
Brazil. Reading that boost, talking about how to buy your VPNs, which VPN you should use and how you should pay with it. Very important. But news cycles, man. All has been quiet on the Brazil front. I think I saw some protesting or gathering, but that's it. Like, that was like a big news story for like 3 days and then gone.
Beware. Yeah, no one has the attention span. People used to talk about like the 24-hour news cycle. Like, X has just brought it down to like 2.5 hours. It's just like you're onto something new right away. I mean, what about like the when did the assassination attempt on Trump happen? Was it like 8 weeks ago?
It was July 10th, I think.
It's like 6 decades in like news cycle time.
And they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to talk about it. That's the thing about the debate too. Everybody's like, debate, like, it's like people are going to forget about by tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're already on the cat memes. I know you got to go. I do want to wrap up with this, though. I thought this was... I've seen this many times. It's 23 years post 9/11, but I thought this was...
That's crazy.
Yeah.
23 years ago.
Well, actually, I mean, the fact that it's crazy is validating why we're going to read this, because this was Hunter S. Thompson... in ESPN, he was writing for ESPN at the time. He wrote this a week after 9/11. We are at war now, according to President Bush, and I take him at his word. He also says this war might last for a very long time. Generals and military scholars will tell you that 8 to 10 years is actually not such a long time in the span of human history, which is no doubt true. But history also tells us that 10 years of martial law and a wartime economy are going to feel like a lifetime to people who are in their 20s today. The poor bastards of what will forever be known as Generation Z are doomed to be the first generation of Americans who will grow up with a lower standard of living than their parents enjoyed. That is extremely heavy news, and it will take a while for it to sink in. The 22 babies born in New York City while the World Trade Center burned will never know what they miss. The last half of the 20th century will seem like a wild party for rich kids compared to what's coming now. The party's over, folks. Incredibly prescient words from Hunter S. Thompson a week after September 11th, 2001. And it seems like that's come true. We've got the Patriot Act. We've got the overbearing surveillance state, financial repression. That's the other thing. I recorded a podcast that will come out on Monday for TFTC with Open State on Noster. You can go look him up. And I forgot it. Like, we're still in the 9/11 emergency state. They just re-signed that bill every year. So technically, we are still at war with terrorism and all these emergency measures that were enacted post September 11th, 2001 still stand today, 23 years later.
There's nothing more permanent than an emergency government measure.
Yeah. Be aware, freaks.
Mandibles and the Bitcoin standard.
You're not going to give them hope with Stay Humble Stacks Act?
Stay humble, stack sack.
Peace of love, freaks.